Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter at The Kick-Ass Life, and of course at thekickasslife.com.
Hi, I'm Sam Horn, author of Pop, and you're listening to David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Yes, it is. And I'm back home. Yes, I am. And I've already said that a couple of times. But you know, it's snowing here. I can't believe it. After 3 weeks on a tropical island where some days the only thing you needed to wear was a smile, here I am sitting with fluffy slippers on. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you could see my feet today, you would realize that I have left paradise and I'm now somewhere very cold. But, you know, it's very beautiful. I love the seasons, got to be honest. I really love them. And today we're going to have a little bit of fun. I'm going to dedicate this show, actually, to Jason Cutter. Jason had sent me a couple of ideas, which I'd used. He talked about, you know, bringing more programs with points of focus. And Jason, I'm calling out to you. I've received a couple of emails from you. And I hope you're doing well out there. And I enjoyed your emails. Thanks so much. And so this show is for you and your wife, as you've mentioned her in your emails as well. But you know what? What I love about being in the studio is I get to play a little bit of different kinds of music because, you know, I'm that kind of guy. And today I want to focus on some work done by a gentleman called Todd Smith. He wrote a book called Little Things Matter. And remember, if you want to buy anything, go to our website, go to the little button on Amazon, push that. It just means we get a few shekels, not too much, but it helps us out paying the bills, whatever, right? But this is a book I recommend, Little Things Matter, 100 Ways to Improve Your Life Today. And I'm going to go through a couple of his ideas, and then some of you out there are going to track him down and get him on the show. And I thought, you know, I think back to a lot of the music I've listened to over the years, and the blues have always played a role in my life, and some of the old blues. I really like some of the old Muddy Waters and John Lee Hooker and Howlin' Wolf and those kinds of guys. So I'm going to introduce a little blues to us today and let us have a little bit of fun with the blues. But also, it sort of rolls in a little bit to the subject because the subject, of course, is this 10 ways to make people feel better. Well, obviously, if people aren't feeling the best, then probably they're feeling a little bit of the blues.
You may be my angel. Nobody loved me.
That one's a hit.
Nobody seemed to care. Nobody loved me. Nobody seemed to care.
Something about the blues, don't you think?
Speaking of bad luck, people.
Oh, yeah. We've all had our share of a little bit of bad luck. And obviously, if you focus on it, I always say if you focus on the bad stuff, you're just going to attract more of that stuff your way. You become a little bit of a crap magnet. So we have to focus our whole attention on the things we want, not the problems, not the obstacles, not the things that have gone wrong. And some of you who are still stuck at a pity party, stop it. Stop it. It ain't going to help. You know, and really, nobody cares about other people's stories. That's what I've learned in my lifetime. They care about their own story. So, you know, we're going to, as we become kick-ass life practitioners, we're going to be really great at allowing other people's stories to bloom. While, you know, our story and our life becomes much more of a focus of really knowing that we can impact lives wherever we're at. So, you know, I'm playing with this, trying to set up music at the same time. So I'm really going to attempt to be able to have a reasonable conversation and the word is uh, continue making sense, which sometimes is not always easy, right? Anyway, so 10 ways to improve people's lives. And again, you know, when I talk about anything, I talk about it from a point of, do I agree with this? Is this something I agree with? Is it something that I personally am willing and able to do? Do I practice it? Because that's truly where the sort of tire hits the road. Am I practicing it myself, right? Because if I can't even practice it, and bring it to life, then me just telling you about it just because it's written down in a book somewhere doesn't make any sense to me either. So, you know, I'm sort of looking at number one. He talks about encouraging, and this all seems very, very sort of simple, but. You know, there's a wonderful saying by Robert Cavett. He says this. He says, 3 billion people on the face of the earth go to bed hungry every night. And by the way, as kick-ass life practitioners, we need to do something about that. He says, but 4 billion people go to bed every night hungry for simply a word of encouragement and recognition. And that's what inspired me to do the show. Again, Jason had talked to me a little bit about recognition and how important it is that, you know, when I'm having these conversations and people are contributing, that I remember to sort of to bring them back in and thank them in an appropriate way. So again, thanks for that, Jason. I really appreciate it. So, you know, one of the things then that we really want to be looking at is this encouragement. You know, how do we encourage people in a more conscious way, right? How do we make people feel good with our words?
Let me do mama moving. Then I called this morning about 1:30. Wake up, baby, loving is just begun. You got a little bit of feeling. Well, let me get a feeling. Yeah.
So I suppose the practice here, and the practice for all of us, and me included, is how do I become even more conscious of this constant encouragement, is really being the cheerleader and bringing cheerleading to life in a very conscious and deliberate way so that it's really part of the DNA. And that's something, again, it's easy when we're busy. It's easy when we're absorbed and, you know, we're in a rush. Forget this little piece of magic is to take a moment and become a cheerleader for somebody else. And especially people that don't expect it or people that maybe aren't even in our sphere, you know, having to go out of our way to encourage and to cheerlead, I think is an awesome practice. So again, I want you to put this on your top 10 list of things that you are now going to incorporate is to become this encouraging cheerleader, all right? This encouraging cheerleader as you go through. You know, and then Todd goes on to talk about, he talks about to compliment sincerely. Now, this is something that I truly practice every day. And the easy thing, and in fact, I teach it in my programs, is actually parts that we'll do that will allow people to suddenly, you know, build that muscle, because it's really not a muscle that everyone has, is to compliment sincerely. When I ask people to pay a compliment quite often, it's often superficial. And there's that wonderful saying that says, you know, you can't give what you don't have. So really, the complimentary muscle has to start with complimenting ourselves. And we have a new show coming out in a couple of weeks here with two amazing people who, again, I'm not going to give it away, but they wrote a book. And in his book, he talks about writing a list every day and adding 3 new things to the list about what's cool about you. You know, and you can't repeat. So he talks about this 21-day challenge. So every day you do these three things, right? And what's great about that is this thing where you have to keep looking for cool things about you and really paying that compliment to yourself. Then I think once we start to see what's inside us, then we'll start to see what's on the outside. And quite often, you know, on the Facebook page when I get these private messages, which I get most of my messages are private, because most people are talking about their stuff that they want to share with me that's private, right? But, you know, quite often when people pay some beautiful compliments, I'll often return with, you know, it's obvious that you're this person. Because that's what we see. We see in ourselves the thing we see in others. And so, again, you know, this whole idea of complimenting sincerely is something that a kick-ass life practitioner is that muscle that we want to build every day. But we first start with us. And then we start just doing it. Just kind of falls out of our mouth. Go out of your way to pay a sincere compliment. Cross the street to do it. I always talk about this one time I was in a hotel room, and I'm walking out, and there's this lady walking down the hallway, and she had really great legs. And, you know, I toyed with the idea, you know, how do you do this? How do you pay a sincere compliment about someone's legs? And so she was going in the elevator. I said, excuse me. I said, listen, I've got to tell you, I'm totally in love. My girlfriend's in the room, but I want to share something with you that I think is really important. She said, what? I said, you have amazing legs. I can't believe it. I said, they're incredible. And I mean, you know, and she wasn't young. She was probably in her early 60s. And you should have seen her when she walked off that elevator. She was like she was gliding. It was almost like she was on a magic carpet. But you see the preface there of the not mixing up what I was trying to say. I was paying a compliment without flirting, without, you know, without entering into that energy, just by simply prefacing, hey, I'm totally in love. My girlfriend's in the room. I just want to share something with you. And it's for you. It's a compliment for you, right? But I believe that there's always that goal, that piece of magic with everyone, and we can always, always find it, much like my good friend, B.B. King.
Well, across the town.
I remember when I went to see B.B. King live, it was really one of these things where I didn't really plan at all. I just wandered down to, we have a great place. We live in a small town, but we have a great, they bring in some great bands. You know, I've seen Bowie here. Who else have I seen here? Bare Naked Ladies, B.B. King, Cirque du Soleil's been here, you know, but some great, great bands have played here. Elton John, Rod Stewart. I didn't even like Rod Stewart until I went to his concert, but it was awesome. It was, if you've not seen Rod Stewart, man, it really, truly is. He's incredibly, incredibly gifted. And in a live concert, I'm telling you, it was so worth it. And I mean, we rocked. I went there with my ex-wife, Pam, and we just danced our faces off all night long. It was pretty amazing. The other thing about this paying compliments sincerely, you know, it doesn't have to be in person. Sending a card, I know that's an old thing. For you young people, there's a thing called an envelope, and they put a stamp on it, and you take it to the post office. You can get me later, guys. Don't worry. So there's that, you know, and you send an email. But I think sending a handwritten note is much more beautiful. So, you know, let's go to the next one. This is a great one. Number three talks about praising publicly. Praising publicly. And what I like about this is, you know, you're really going out of your way to say it in front of other people. You can do it, you know, with people in a store, you know, like a store clerk, or you do it, you know, a waitress or a receptionist, you know, that have gone out of their way to assist you. I'll often say in front of a manager, if I see a manager around, I'll walk over to a manager in front of the server and I'll say, hey, I got to tell you, this person is awesome. They were just unbelievable. Great service. And you can see them. They kind of like, they almost expand right in front of you, right? So, you know, there's a wonderful singer called Big Maybelle, and I want to share a little bit of that with you.
Life in my body.
You swear?
I swear to you on the Bible.
When?
In the old time you say that's a pretty good one.
That's the way I feel about you. So praising publicly, such an easy thing to do. But again, it's part of your arsenal and something that you'd really want to go out of your way to do. The next one is really awesome because it's something that I think very few people do very, very well. Because, you know, when we're in the process of listening to other people, typically what ends up happening is we're already thinking about what we want to share. But this one's to listen thoughtfully. To focus on listening, but, you know, not just hearing. It's really about being present. It's being so present. And, you know, another great tip is once someone shared something with you, repeat it back to them. Sort of like this, you know, and Stephen Covey talks about that. He talks about, you know, first seek to understand, then be understood. But this wonderful thing of repeating back. So if I get you, then this is what you're trying to say. If I'm understanding you, you know, or, you know, if I heard you right, and you just sort of just really bring it back to them. And you know, show this sort of sense of care and concern, and really feel what they're saying. That's another part of it, you know, when people are listening. And I can tell you, I mean, it's so easy because I mean, when I, as a creative person, I'm often thinking about other stuff, right? So when I'm around people, I notice when I work, I'm like a laser beam. It's like everyone else falls away. But sometimes in my own life, this is something that I need to really practice myself, you know, is to really listen thoughtfully and be an active listener and really, really not be thinking about what I'm going to jump in with next, right? It's really about listening and making sure that person really feels heard. And when people start to feel heard, they start to show up differently. I've noticed that from when I'm doing a lot of work on the stage. You know, people are almost invisible when they first come into my rooms. Quite often by the end of 2 days, you start to see them. Where do they come from? I've had that happen on the last day of a program where someone starts to feel seen and feel heard, and suddenly they become visible. And I know a lot of you, I have a lot of women who come to my programs, and we had about 94% of women in my last two programs in Belize. And, you know, guys, get your ass down there. You know, we need it too, men. But obviously women are much more committed sometimes to their own journey, their personal growth journey. And that's just testimony to me personally. I just see a lot of women in my rooms. So we're going to, you know, we're going to listen thoughtfully. This next one I really, really love. It's to serve willingly, this idea of service. And I often think about this. What's a great, great act of service? You know, and I think, you know, would I wash someone's feet? Yeah, I would. I really would, you know, and I think it's, I know Gandhi and people like that who have come before us are humble enough to do something like that. But to always be serving, to be looking and conscious and aware and awake around where you can just jump in and do something more beautiful, to serve, to come from a heart of service. And I think it's one of those things where it's much more beautiful to live in a world where you're a servant than it is to be where you're the recipient of that service, you know, is to always be willing to jump in. To clear tables, to wash toilets, to anything. It doesn't matter where it is. I mean, it doesn't have to be as base as that. But certainly it can be that there is nothing below you, nothing below me that I wouldn't be willing to do for others. And it's so, so beautiful. You know, like when you're at a table, you know, pouring the water and making sure everyone eats first and just being conscious again, this conscious awareness of everyone around us and that there is always the ability to serve. But then, of course, if we look at it on a higher level, we start talking about purpose and living a life of purpose where the very, very things that we do every day serve in a more beautiful way. And I'm not saying we can't listen. We can do both. We can serve and we can become incredibly wealthy. So, you know, with that, there's a great song by Big Bill Bruzy, and it's called The Midnight Special.
Shine a light on me. There's the midnight special. Shine a light on me. Have you ever go to Memphis? Said you better walk right.
And you better walk right.
Don't the police will arrest you and carry you down. Then take you to the station with the gun in his hand.
Gun in his hand.
Then the judge will tell you you've been a naughty man.
So another way to serve willingly is to really look at, yeah, at work. You guys that have jobs, J-O-Bs, you know, if someone around you needs a hand, you know, they're under the gun, maybe reach out and help them out, you know. It's not just sorry, I pulled the button down very fast there. But, you know, it's just to really go out of your way to help somebody who needs it, you know. Someone's painting their house, you know, why not? Why not show up and pull out the rollers and give them a hand, right? I mean, it's just that kind of thing. It's just a life of service. And it's, again, what I found in my own life is the more I serve, the more beautiful and the more light and bright my own life becomes, right? So anyway, so let's go on. The next one here is to show genuine interest, which is different from listening thoughtfully. Listening is a skill set. But to show a genuine interest, you know, to find out what's important to other people, to concentrate on what they have to say, you know, and to commenting on their hobbies, their sports, their vacations, their family, on a later date, you know, when you meet again, will show that you've shown that and you've really listened thoughtfully, but now you have an interest. You have an interest in them, what they have to say, your interest in what's going on for them. And I think that's a really beautiful thing, you know, where when we do that and we surprise them, it's like interest in their families. You know, something I remember when I was first building my relationship with Jack Canfield, you know, I remember very often, always, in fact, every communication, I'd always mention Inga, I'd mention something about her, something, but I never, ever, ever forget to bring her back into the conversation. And I think that those small things, they add so much richness if you really do care. You know, mentioning someone's kids and, you know, how they doing, how your family first. I'll often do this in business, actually. You know, someone will come rushing into a meeting and they're so in their head and everything else like that. And I'll say, oh, hold on. Yeah, let's talk about that in a second. But first, how's your family? What's going on? How you feeling? You know, that kind of stuff. And that really is one of those things where easy to do. That's simple stuff, right? But, you know, so express, to show genuine, and that's the word, genuine interest. And again, I mentioned my one of my old faves, my old blues faves, Johnny Lee Hooker. Listen to this one.
When you look into my eyes, baby, woo, baby, chill me through and through. Nobody move me to wait.
Isn't it so great? I mean, some of these singers, you know, I mean, you think of the early blues, you know, it's that early sound. That's what I love about it. It's just so, so raw. It's so wonderful. All right. So express love unselfishly. All right. Unselfishly. To be able to really express the way that you love unselfishly. You see, this is what he says. Is each person has a primary love language that dictates the way they prefer to be loved. When we understand and love people the way they need to be loved, not just the way that satisfies our needs, it draws them closer to us and us to them. All right? And so, you know, the love languages is something you can look up. I mean, and, you know, some people it's affection and some people it's gifts, you know, and there's the love languages. I want you to go do the homework. So express love unselfishly. And I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, you will be feeling something you haven't felt. And this is a real practice, especially, I think, when you've been around or you've been in love a long time, to keep doing it. You know, it's easy to do it in the beginning, but how do you do it after 6 months and a year and 5 years and 10 years and that kind of stuff, right? But, you know, when you see those great couples who really understand each other's love language and are able to bring it to life through their whole relationship, it is so damn sexy.
I love you, honey. Well, won't you fall in love with me?
John Lee Hooker again, John Lee Hooker. Number eight, he talks about making a friendly call. I really like this because, you know, it doesn't have to be a special day. In our Western culture, we've really got things screwed up, I think, where, you know, we don't go to people's homes unless we're invited. It's very, very weird. I always say just show up. I love it when people just show up, all right? So it doesn't have to be an important or special day. Just call a friend, a family member. In fact, do it today. Right after you listen to the show, phone somebody you haven't spoken to and just think about it. Say, you know, just thinking about you. I'm just thinking about you and I just want to say hi. Don't want anything. Just ask how they're doing and appreciate them for being in your life, you know. And there's that wonderful saying by William James. It says, the deepest principle of human nature is a craving to be appreciated. So making that friendly call, right? All right, we're getting close to the top of the show, right? But number nine is to give a gift, all right? And, I wonder, because I struggle with this one sometimes, because I don't like buying Christmas gifts and wedding gifts, and I don't feel this obligation that some people do. I just don't think of it as that sort of need. And in fact, I very rarely buy wedding gifts. I go to a lot of weddings. I just don't know. It's just me. I don't like being forced into buying. I like to do great things with people, and I like to do it more spontaneously and buy them the things they need. Not saying I don't buy gifts. I do. And it's not because I'm cheap, because I probably have never been called that in my life. I'm probably pretty called pretty generous. But that whole idea about giving a gift doesn't need to be expensive, a small bouquet of flowers or a card. But anything like that, you know, just to show someone that you're caring and thinking about them, but doing it in an unexpected way. That's my favorite. My favorite is to do it. And I love doing it when they don't know who's it from. That's a great one, right? But, you know, even sometimes, like just a letter, you know, just write someone a letter. Sometimes that's gift enough, right?
Yes, I wrote my gal a letter, and this is what I had to say. Yes, I wrote my gal a letter, and this is what I had to say. Man, you know how I feel if you ever had a gal like me. I said, let me hear from you, baby, let me hear from you right away.
You know, it's, again, so easy to do, but, you know, little things. And with the holiday season come up, you know, and if you listen to my last week's show with Andrea Owen, you know, some strategies about, you know, preparing for the holidays, however you celebrate them. But, you know, I'll be honest, you know, one of the things we did a few years ago, I spoke to all my friends and I gave them a list. We found a family through my son's school. This is all anonymous. We got a Christmas list. There was a number of kids. And she was a single mom. And we asked them for what they wanted. And I put the list out to all my friends. And everyone decided on what they would get. I mean, there was a microwave in there. There was a bike for the kid. There was some clothes. There was makeup. There was different things. So what we did, a lot of it was secondhand, you know, like a secondhand. I think actually we bought a brand new microwave. It wasn't that expensive. But the bike was secondhand. Some of the clothes were, some of them were brand new, but everyone just took a part of the list. And what we did is we completed the whole list between me and all my friends. And I said, look, this will be the Christmas gift for this year for all of us. We don't need to buy each other anything else. And it was so wonderful. And we just dropped, the kids got involved and dropped it off in school in the gymnasium. And that was it. Never expected to see or hear from these people again. You know, I didn't want to be known for what we were doing. But you know, what was interesting was the lady insisted on finding out who it was. And one day she showed up at my house with her kids, and it was just after, probably about 2 weeks after Christmas. And she brought a card, and it was beautiful. These kids came in, and you know, we hung out, and I made them a cup of tea, and they played downstairs. And you know, it was just watching in her eyes what it meant to her, because, you know, she had no Christmas plan. She had nothing going on. There was nothing that she could do, right, in her financial circumstances. And it was such easy when all of us did it together, a group of friends doing it together. So, you know, with the holidays coming up right away, maybe that's something you can think about doing is getting a group of you and filling a whole Christmas list, you know, putting a lot of things under the tree. And most of it's when you find from these people, it's things they need. You know, obviously, you know, the microwave was because they had a small baby and they wanted to heat up milk, even though I don't like microwaves and never have one in my house. You know, we still got one because my like was not hers. Anyway, the last one, number 10, is to smile often, but let's go with Muddy Waters. Do you know Muddy? I love this guy.
Hold on. Hold on. Shauna. And I sit down, oh, on her step.
So, you know, as we get to the end of the show here, we're a minute away. Number 10 is smile often. And I truly believe in this. This is one of the magical things we can do in our lives is to smile. You know, it's so, so easy. And we start with a smile in our eyes, that little wrinkle. But, you know, people smile about 70% less than they think they do. I've talked about that in previous shows. There's a lot of people think they're smiling when they're not. And it's really a conscious effort is to walk down the street and smile at people and be present. And smile with a corner of your eyes. And it can brighten up strangers' days. I've heard it so often where people feel seen again. And it's so easy to make someone's day with a smile. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know, here we are. We're at that top of the hour again, you know, and again, I want a little call out to Jason Cutter for his thoughts and helping us create this show. And, you know, I... Oh, listen to this. A little bit of blues. So here's what I did here. I had two things playing at once there. Did you see that? That's what happens when I catch myself trying to be too technical. Oh, yeah, I'm a DJ over here. I got to turn one off before I turn the other on. But, you know, here we go again. Just a quick recap. You know, one, to encourage. Two, to compliment sincerely. Three, to praise publicly. Four, to listen thoughtfully. Five, to serve willingly. Six, to show genuine interest. Seven, express love unselfishly. Number eight, make a friendly call. Number nine, give a gift. Number 10, smile often. And this is all from a book by Todd Smith. You can go on our website, go through Amazon if you can. Go buy it. It's called Little Things Matter, 100 Ways to Improve Your Life Today. And again, if you know him or if you can get close to him, see if you can get him on the show. Well, I know he's done lots of great stuff. So we're excited about that. And in saying that, you know, get out there, make this the best day of your life. And we'll see you soon. We'll see you on the other side.
That was kick ass.
Yeah.